I saw a void when it came to working with athletes, right? You know, you and I both know that 78 to 80% go bankrupt 3 to 5 years after their last game. And my brother is part of that statistic. And I saw how financial information was misrepresented because people were more concerned with their pockets instead of the person. And that's why we are where we are today.
You're an entrepreneur, and you make vital decisions that hopefully blossom into a business. You're the savvy, out-of-the-box risk-taker who believes wholeheartedly in the process of innovation. Innovation that will change the world. This is CEO Chat with Gresham Harkless, and you're about to embark on a journey through the awesome world of business. Gresham is the epitome of drive and desire as he works to help support small businesses and entrepreneurship. And you're about to learn from this entrepreneur how you can improve your odds of success in the business world. Welcoming the host of CEO Chat, here's Gresham Harkless.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresham Harkless from CEO Chat, powered by CBNation.co and Blue 16 Media, your choice for all your website design and digital marketing needs. And this was an awesome chat with Isaac Cooper from IMC Financial Consulting. Isaac works with clients ranging from business owners to professional athletes, and he definitely wants to focus on working with people who want to better themselves and the lives of the families that come after them. He's also very involved in the community, including him winning the 2015 AL.com Change Award. And during the chat, we spoke about how his background as a professional athlete has helped him as a business owner, how he helps professional athletes, and financial tips he has for entrepreneurs and business owners. And finally, we touched on the impact that him giving back to his community has had upon him and also upon his business. So I want you to do is sit back and enjoy this CEO chat with Isaac Cooper.
All right, Isaac, are you still there with me?
Yes, sir.
Awesome, awesome. Well, first and foremost, I just wanted to kind of thank you for kind of taking some time out of your schedule. The first thing that I usually do is just give you the floor, ask you if you can introduce yourself to us, tell us a little bit about your story, your background, and what led you to start your business.
Cool. Well, it's definitely a pleasure. Thank you, CEO Blog Nation. You guys are fantastic. But ultimately, I'm Jamaican by blood, Floridian by birth. So all my family's overseas, 95% essentially. Grew up in Florida. Sports was the foundation of my childhood. I played every sport you could imagine, from soccer to baseball to basketball, ran track, and then found out all the girls like football. So I kept playing that.
Smart guy.
But was good enough to get a scholarship. I knew that, you know, just to be very transparent, I had three options just based off what I was exposed to growing up. I thought I was either going to be, you know, a rapper, an athlete, or the entrepreneur that doesn't pay taxes. And, you know, we'll leave that up to let you guys figure that out later. But essentially, football allowed me to get a scholarship to a D1AA program, which they call FCS now, Samford University here in Birmingham, Alabama. And it was actually through a good man named Pat Sullivan. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. And I had offers from different universities, from Vanderbilt, UCF, and ended up choosing there. And so, as you know, my aspiration was to continue to play football at the professional level, play in the NFL, just like one of my older brothers. But injuries cut that short, actually my senior year. And so that was probably one of the most pivotal moments in my life, because everything I thought my identity was wrapped into was gone, right? Like football, what I was known for, that's what I aligned my intellectual property to, you know, when it came to, you know, skills, drills, strategy. And so when that was taken away, I really had to hit the refresh on the browser button of Isaac Cooper and get an understanding of, all right, who am I truly? And so I'm a huge man of faith, and that definitely helped me transition. And over time, I've always just been good with numbers, you know, and I think it was just due to circumstances. You know, whenever we came from Jamaica, my mom would always argue with the people at Walmart or Food World, because she would think that they would be stealing money from her whenever they would give her change. And it wasn't the fact that they were stealing money, you know, the currency changed. And so with me growing up in the United States, I wanted to hurry up and get out of Walmart, you know, like, hey, I don't want to be sitting here arguing in front of these folks. I go to school with their kids, you know, like we got to get out of here. And so it will be multiple times where if she handed the cashier 10 and let's say it's 541, I'll say, all right, mom, it's 459. That's going to be the change. And the cashier would hit total due, and we would see the number pop up, and we would all look at each other like, hey, okay. And so I knew over time I was getting good with numbers. And so fast forward, whenever I got to college, you know, I ended up majoring in finance. And so when football was over, finance was top of mind for me. And I got a call from a Fortune 100 company. It's just crazy how this particular office was the number one office in the country. Got great training, got great exposure into the business of helping people when it comes to financial planning and financial advising. But I saw a void, you know, and I think like all CEOs, all entrepreneurs, they see a void and they fix it. And that's the reason why they start either their entity to within products or service-based. And I saw a void when it came to working with athletes, right? You know, you and I both know the 78 to 80% go bankrupt 3 to 5 years after their last game. And my brother is part of that statistic. And I saw how financial information was misrepresented because people were more concerned with their pockets instead of the person. And that's why we are where we are today. And IMC Financial Consulting got started, and I'm here to fix those voids. And so I have some metrics that I track to ensure that we're on pace, but I definitely didn't anticipate talking for about 5 minutes on the first question. So my apologies.
No, that's perfectly fine. No, this, you definitely gave me a lot of follow-up questions that I wanted to ask you. No, first and foremost, I mean, it's awesome. It's funny because I find that a lot of people initially, you know, when you go to school, you always think that you're going to figure out what you're going to do for the rest of your life. So sometimes when things happen, life happens, everyone who studies or does whatever it is that they're doing, whether it be play sport or whatever, sometimes, you know, you find that, you know, when you actually graduate, you're trying to figure out exactly what it is that you do. And it's funny because I struggle with that myself after I graduated, trying to figure out, you know, what do I want to do? But I did something kind of similar where you kind of go back in your childhood, you find out what you're good at, what you're passionate about, what your talents might be. And then it kind of helps you kind of redirect to where you're going to be. So it sounds like, you know, even before school, but definitely after school, you know, and after you finish your pro career that you had that similar type of experience. You're exactly right.
And there was one part of the story in which, again, it's funny. I was chasing the same thing. There was a teacher I had a crush on in high school, and she taught AP calculus. And so I maneuvered my way to be able to be taught by her, right? And I ended up getting a D in the class. And at the end of the semester or whatnot, before we took the AP exam, she said, she talked to everybody in the class, and we were about to take the AP exam. And she said, well, Isaac, you just try your best. And I was like, what? You know, and so I ended up getting a 4 on the exam, and I missed getting a 5 by one question, right? So like those childhood moments, not knowing that dealing with numbers, right? Like dealing with finances was going to be the foundation of my existence, essentially. Who would have known, right? Like, who would have known, you know, sharpening the tools while I was growing up with, you know, my mom when it comes to money, and then just being comfortable with numbers. And so I was that kid in class that just wasn't too, I didn't feel too much pressure when I got into a math class. I was just like, just do it, you know?
Right. No, that's awesome. That's also, that was the key. So that's why, you know, I didn't have that from a math perspective. So that's why I focus more on English, but I'm sure if I had a pretty teacher, I would have been an AP calculus as well. So you're a smart man to go that route.
I appreciate it.
So the key is football and AP calculus. So now we know what the keys are.
Shout out to DJ Khaled.
There you go. So you touched a little bit on some of the things that you do and who you try to focus on. Could you tell us a little bit more on what you do with your financial company?
Sure. So we sit down with people and we put a large emphasis on listening, right? Get an understanding of their goals and objectives. 9 times out of 10, people are approached by folks in our industry with already a packaged solution without even knowing what their issues are. And so we're very intentional on getting a good understanding of their goals 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years out, and then get an understanding of what got them to where they are today. And so what that does, it allows us to be able to extract any type of tendencies or any type of muscle memory they may be executing when it comes to their money, and use those strengths, right? Like some folks think spending money is a bad thing. No, we're just going to identify that habit and create an environment to where when you do spend money, you don't have to feel bad about it. And so the biggest thing that we do, we help people navigate. There's a lot of information out here due to technology, due to Google, due to YouTube, but there's a lot of misinformation out here. And so within our process, we make sure that we have an understanding of where clients are going, goals, objectives, defense, and offense. And then we provide products to fill any voids, assuming that there isn't any, But 99% of the time we find some holes in our financial game plan. And so we put together a tangible, executable game plan that we visit on an annual basis to ensure, you know, they stay on track. But the biggest thing we do, we help people navigate, give them a peace of mind when it comes to their cash flow management, when it comes to saving for retirement, when it comes to making sure all of their assets are protected, but also getting the first down. And so you'll hear me use a lot of football terminology, because we also find that the best way to communicate to individuals that don't do what we do is to use terms that they're familiar with. And that was another void that I saw in our industry, because people, you know, what they want to force the value that they're bringing to their, you know, potential client by using terminology that they don't understand to try to prove that, hey, I know more than you. No, that's not what we need to happen. What needs to happen is that we need to know each other, and I need to teach you these products so you have an understanding of what you have. And that's where, you know, I feel like we've been able to hit a sweet spot, because it's essentially, instead of me sitting across the table from a client, we sit on the same side as the table. And with us being an independent firm, we're able to have access to everything in the market. And so we just go find what's in the market that fits our goals and objectives.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And yeah, I definitely think, you know, me coming from it at a different angle, we do like website design and digital marketing. But often I found something very similar where a lot of people would talk quote unquote geek to try to elevate themselves so that you would have to hire them because you didn't know what the heck they were saying. But you're like, okay, it seems like he knows something, so let me hire him. But I think a lot of people kind of forget, like when you're trying to communicate, the idea is you're communicating right, so that you can be understood on the other end. And it sounds like, you know, you took it a point to understand, you know, the nuances of the financial industry, but be able to communicate with your clients, which I think definitely can, you know, distinguish you from, you know, that the average everyday person.
Right. And you know, the first time I realized that that was an issue, I had a joint meeting. And again, I'm not going to name this particular firm. It was a Fortune 100 company. And one of my teammates was drafted. And we sat down in the meeting. And this guy, he's been in the industry 20 plus years, worth a ton of money, worked with a ton of wealthy people. And the guy that he was talking to, again, is my teammate. So I know him and I know how we communicate. And when I saw how he communicated what we do to him, I said in my head, I know what he's talking about because I do this. I know very well that this individual that is listening has no clue what he's saying. And he was just nodding his head just to get out of the meeting. And so at that moment, I said, that will never happen again, because he walked out of here not knowing the type of value we could provide to him. And so in that moment, it made me realize, and again, this is a stretch of an analogy because it's an athlete, but financial literacy, financial wellness, financial information, we're not getting it in high school. We're not getting it in college. It's not a focus. And as students, we're not really thinking about that, you know, trying to think about Friday. You know what I'm saying? And so to make the assumption that people, you know, when I got up this morning, I was, you know, watching Squawk Street, right? CNBC, looking at the ticker symbol. Everybody this morning did not get up and do the same thing. And so the way that I communicate what I learned today has to be in a manner in which they can receive the information, because it's not just delivering quality information. Like you said, it has to be information in which it can be understood. And so in that moment, that let me know that, all right, Isaac, you need to communicate this in a language in which the people, you know, will be able to receive and execute.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I think that, and we talked a little bit about this initially when we spoke, is that 30 for 30 episode that talks about, I think it's called Going Broke, that was on ESPN. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize, especially athletes, like you said, you know, most of these athletes are making millions, millions upon millions, you know, but they're usually 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, when the average person who, you know, works their career, becomes a master, they start to, you know, make the most or their most money when they're 30, 40 years old. So to get that money when you're 20 years or younger, or maybe somewhere around there, is kind of really difficult. So sometimes you don't have that financial, I want to say, knowledge to be able to make those correct decisions. And before you know it, you know, you don't have the money.
That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, one of the biggest factors I think people miss out on when they talk about athletes is whenever they sign that contract, whenever they 5 year, 20 million or whatever it may be, 4 year, 15 million, everybody in the world knows, like everybody. And that physician, right, that went to med school 4 years, then probably did a little bit of seminary or whatever it may be to find a specialty, but went to med school 4 years, a couple of years after that, come out with some debt 3 years after that. Now they're making $600,000-$800,000 a year. The only people that know that is them and their family. And then over time, when they're in their prime, you know, a few million, and they're making some good money. And so the issue with these athletes is, one, yes, they're young. So they have never been in an environment which they've made a business decision, right? Like, they've never been in an environment in which they've had to vet a process, like go through a process, vet out the process and say, all right, this is what we're going to do when it comes to assessing people and also when it comes to assessing money. The other aspect is their family, right? So if you look at the makeup of the NFL, NBA, a majority, you just got to call a spade, 70-80% of the players are Black. So we got to look at the culture in which they come from. And so if I put, I have a strong feeling over the last 10 years, if we put every NFL player in the history or in the last 10 years in a room, and I asked him, who in here has made over $100,000 a year prior to them coming to the NFL? I'll be surprised if two people raise their hand. Same question. Who in here has a family member, mom or dad, that makes $100,000 a year? I'll say less than 20%. And so even with that small number, we cannot make the assumption that they'll know how to handle a million. And as well, their family can give them counsel on how to handle a million. Because that's another aspect that I have to deal with, is that prior to them making it to the NFL, you got to think about the life that they live when it comes to aunts, uncles, cousins, right? Like, when's the last time you told your aunt no? Right? When's the last time you told your uncle, no, right, I'm not going to do that, and right, walk away? Right? Like, that, it just doesn't right happen. And right, it was a surreal moment when I took a gentleman out to eat, and him and his mom came, and next thing you know, cousin, uncle, uncle's wife, nephew, all these people showed up, and everybody at the table had an opinion on what to do with this money but him. And I knew that there was, I sat there and I said, I don't know what other environment he's been in with these people in which his opinion even mattered. And so, unfortunately, mm-hmm, when it comes to working with NFL players, we have too many guys in my industry, agents as well, that are fans first, right? Like, they're a fan. So when you're a fan, you're going to do everything in your power to not make that individual uncomfortable. I'm not a fan. You put your shoes on the same way I do. You know what I'm saying? And that was the mindset of being an athlete growing up. Like, that's been instilled with me. So I've never been starstruck by anybody. My brother played in the league. I've met all these folks. And hey, look, you brush your teeth the same way I do, big guy, you know? And so since I'm not a fan, I am more right comfortable holding him accountable. And I'll be more than happy to tell Uncle no. I could tell Aunt no. I take the pressure off of them. But if you don't understand that cultural dynamic, you won't even know that's an issue. He won't even be comfortable to tell you that's an issue. Every time Uncle calls for $25,000, he's just going to send it to him and not tell you about it. And so those little environments are around it that feed into, right, like that 30 for 30 ESPN going broke from, one, they never had anything, so they're going to come out and splurge a little bit. Who would it, right? Mm-hmm. But this, yeah, the second thing is that if they don't understand financial literacy and financial wellness, I had a guy, he was like, man, golly, I didn't know the state tax of California was that bad. You know, like, he just, his signing bonus was X. He anticipated X, and he got about 40% of that, you know? Right. And now what if he made financial decisions before he received the money and didn't know about taxes, or didn't even know about state taxes, right? And so I see that, man, on a day-to-day basis. And then on the last point that I'll mention is, you know, 2008, 2009 wasn't just, oh my goodness, this happened all of a sudden. It happened because of greedy people, right? So we've seen it at that highest level when it comes to the financial stability of the economy in the United States, but also when it comes to greedy folks just within different industries, right? And so you got that in my industry. And from attorneys to CPAs to agents to financial guys, you know, they'll prey on their ability, or they'll prey on the lack of financial literacy within these guys and generate revenue off of it. And they find joy in that. And that's and it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And so it's I tell folks, man, working with athletes is more like ministry. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that's my philanthropic work right there, because there's a lot of education. There's a lot of patience that have to be exuded. But at the same time, I vet them out before I allow them to become clients, right? Like my first question is, do you think the NFL is a career or an experience? And the way they answer that question lets me know how they mentally categorize, right, this particular moment, because it's a moment, right? Like I tell them all the time, you can live like a, you can live like a king for 5 years, or you can live like a prince forever, right? So let's be consistent with our thinking, and let's leverage this income and leverage this influence so you can probably be the pivot step in your bloodline 9 times out of 10. So I can get on the Kanye rant about all that, man. So
no worries. No, that, no, it makes perfect sense. And I think the, that 30-30 touched on a lot of those things where, and I think that's, you know, lessons to learn from everybody who, whether you're an entrepreneur, business owner, or, you know, or you're just a regular, you know, person that goes to his 9 to 5, your environment plays a huge part in, you know, your level of success. And if you're trying to reach a certain level, or you reach to a certain level and you don't have that strong environment around you or that team, quote unquote, it can make or break you, you know, as an individual.
That's exactly right. Team is very important because, you know, and even being an entrepreneur, even being a business owner, I got to have accountability, right? Like the quality or the one of the aspects of running your own business, people say, oh, yeah, you control your own calendar. Yeah, that's probably like the biggest thorn as well, right? Like, because you could say no and go home and twiddle your thumbs and pout a little bit, but you're not making any money. And so that accountability aspect, that team aspect, you know, I reference it essentially to who do you have on your bus, right? You driving it, you know the direction, you know the vision, you know the mission, but who occupies the other seats that ensures the bus is moving at full capacity? And that's what it's all about. And with those individuals, 9 times out of 10, it's not the fact that they don't know they need a team. They just never been put in an environment in which they know how to select a team or have the confidence to remove people from their team, right? Because if your environment changes drastically, you have to ensure your team members are in some form of fashion, I want to say movable enough, right, to adjust. Because there's some folks, as they say, you're stuck in your ways, right? So you have to be curious enough, willing enough, can't steer a parked car, to be able to evolve with the situation. And typically, they think the situation, they created a situation. No, that situation's been there. NFL been there for a long time, my friend. You know, tax has been there for a long time. Yeah. You guys need to learn about this. So yeah, you're exactly right. The environment is huge.
Yeah, and I find kind of like I always heard, like, it always was thought that the sign of strength and power was like the rock. But I read something that said, you know, it's actually water, because if you think about water, it's movable. It can transition to any type of, you know, avenue. It can move. It can become, you know, stronger. It can become weak. So it's something that, you know, you're kind of talking to where you have to be able to be and navigate through the different parts of your life or the different times of your life. So it definitely seems like you've been able to do that. So I wanted to ask you, as your background as an athlete, obviously, I know that's helped you as far as, you know, being able to communicate from a financial perspective. But is there anything else that you can point to say that because I was an athlete, because I played at that high level, that has helped me out in my business or in my life, or just anything you can kind of touch on?
Yeah, big time. Being an athlete, my reference to pain is different. Right. Like, and fear is different. Right. So I know in my industry, the biggest issues why guys get out of my industry is because they're scared to pick up the phone and hear somebody say no. I'm like, that's it? Have you ever had a 325 pound guy run at you full speed? And so, like, that's my reference point. Right. Like, that, pick up the phone, say no. Right. Like, so the physicality of the sport and the pain in which was either inflicted on me or I inflicted on someone else. You know, going back to that and the thought process behind it and just working hard is effort. That's the last thing I'm worried about. The one thing I had to adjust to is more so the science behind it. Like, I had to understand how to execute, what to execute. The playbook was different, right? The personnel was different, right? And so that team approach definitely helped. But more, I would say the reference to pain, uncomfort, finding joy and having a schedule. Right. So, you know, playing sports, being an athlete in college, they tell you your schedule for the next 4 years, you know, from, you know, like, you got to wake up at this time, got to be here at this time, got breakfast. And so having a schedule, once you stick to a schedule, you see growth. Right. Like, so metrics, right? Understanding metrics. But I think the biggest thing that helped me was just work ethic, right? Just work ethic, putting your nose to the ground and making it happen. Pain points, how long, and I'll say specifically for my position, being a cornerback, it's a saying that's nationwide and every corner in the nation knows it, is play the next play. And what that means is something bad just happened, right? Somebody either just caught the ball on you, may have been a 25-yard pass, but he went out of bounds. Now, the time in which you could think about, oh, what did I do? I should have done better. Oh, he pushed off. This is what coach going to say. Play the next play. You're about to line back up in 4 seconds. So the time I'm used to spending being upset, I've been conditioned for that mentally for be a short amount of time. And so if something doesn't go wrong, I'm like, oh, man, blah, 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 blah. Play the next play. What's next? I got to be productive. So I think when it comes to productivity, how long you can stay in a lull. Now, there's been times I've been, I wanted to suck my thumb and go home, right? Like, but the time it takes to be able to transition from that, I think that's one of the aspects that helped as well.
Nah, that's awesome. Yeah, I love that. Play the next play. That's huge, just because, I think, you don't realize like how much time is lost. Like, in football, it might be throwing an interception, or in our day-to-day lives as entrepreneurs and business owners, it might be getting told, no, we're not going to go with you, or a proposal not going your way. And you can spend the rest of your day, the rest of your week kind of, sucking your thumb, as you said, and being frustrated, but you're losing opportunity and time to kind of propel yourself to do other things in other ways and to be great.
Right. That's it, man. That's it. That's exactly right.
Well, cool, cool, cool. So I know you mentioned, some of the things that you did, while you were playing sports. I know you also mentioned that, community was very important for you in your life and also as an entrepreneur, business owner. Could you touch a little bit more on that and tell us a little bit about, that role community has played?
Yeah, man. Community involvement, I feel like, is more like a responsibility. And whenever I got into the industry, this is probably one thing I should have mentioned, whenever you get a financial industry, regardless of who you're with, if you're with, this is where I can use names because the process is the same. Merrill Lynch, Stern AG, Raymond James, Goldman Sachs, Northwestern Mutual, Mass Mutual, New York Life. Part of their onboarding process is they're going to get insight on all the people locally, right? And so typically, they want that to be in between about 100 to 250 people, sometimes 500. I knew two people in Birmingham, two people. But one thing that I knew I didn't want to do or be was a guy that you see in Publix and you turn the other way, right? Like, oh, you're going to try to come sell me something, right? And so I wanted to ensure that people knew where my heart was before they knew what I did. And so I knew where my heart was. It was with kids. And I was still licking the wounds of being a former football player. And so I wanted to ensure that these kids didn't deal with the pain that I dealt with when football was over for me. I sat in my car and cried after that. We played Auburn University. I sat in my car and cried like the very next day because I had no clue what I was going to do. Uh-huh. And as I was developing as a professional, I knew that I didn't want any of those kids to go through that same pain. And I knew on how much leverage I missed out on because I didn't anticipate football ever ending. And so my community involvement was more so to share my pain with people. And so it's through football camps. And so last year we did 5 football camps throughout the state of Alabama, over 1,200 kids in total. We have a keynote camp here in Birmingham. We had over 440 kids there, free breakfast, free lunch. We bring in speakers. Pat Sullivan was a speaker. We got, presidents of companies coming to speak to these kids. Man, we got kids that show up with no shoes. We got kids that show up with no underwear, kids that show up with no shirt. They're running 1, 2, 3 miles just to get to the camp because they want something to eat. 90% of the kids that show up, only their mom brings them. They don't have dads in their house. And so the void in just sharing, hey, football is not the only option, we see all the issues that come with it. And so we really just partner with communities, partner with corporations, partner with McDonald's, partner with Chick-fil-A. We partner with all these individuals because they've seen what we've done over the last 5 to 6 years. Next Level Football Camp, buddy of mine, Jeremy Towns, he played in the NFL as well. And now he's in med school doing big things. And so, yeah, the community involvement, do that. And also bring in financial literacy and financial wellness to folks that may not readily have access to it, right? Like if you don't come from a family that has access, that can do all right, make some money, talk to a financial professional. If you don't see that in your household, how are you getting your information? And so I go into churches, I go into neighborhood meetings. You know, I go into even all the way into universities, talking to the fraternities and sororities or attorneys, med school, whoever it may be, right? Like, and so one thing that one principle that I live on, and, you know, it's more so a visual. The only way you can receive anything is if your hand is open. And so I decided to continue to keep giving, right? And just give, give, give. Even, you know, again, from a visual standpoint, in order to give, you got to open your hand. And so I'm going to keep giving, keep sowing seeds and do it that way. But the community work, man, I'm not even going to lie. I have more fun doing that. It's so fun. It's so much fun, bro. It is so seeing the smile on kids' face. It's just, that is the most fun ever. And kids are the funniest people on the planet. I don't know why people don't hang out with kids more, but it's a good work, man.
Yeah. No, I definitely understand exactly what you mean. It's funny because I said I love sports as well. And I had a job where I used to go to preschools and I would teach sports camps there, and I would teach them, you know, just how to do little small things, how to, most of them trying to stand up, but how to, you know, throw the football, things like that. But I thought it was awesome just because, like you said, there's no more rewarding opportunity than sit down with the kid and to spend time with them and enjoy it. You feel, you know, just feel like a sense of really giving back. You feel like you're really making an impact. So I think it's awesome that, you know, you make time in order to do that because not enough of us do. And, you know, definitely want to, you know, give you a shout out for doing that because you're definitely making the community a better place.
Man, I appreciate it, brother. I definitely appreciate it. Definitely appreciate it.
No problem. So going back to like the financial tips. So like, especially for like entrepreneurs and business owners, what kind of two or three different tips would you give to us so that we can be better financial business owners?
So number one, have someone hold you accountable. Like that you can put together the best game plan ever, but if you don't execute it, there's no point. Right now, if I'm talking into an employee, it's a little different. But since I'm talking to the employer, you have to make so many other decisions outside of the money that you have to have someone that's just specific on that. Even if it's your significant other, I'm not saying somebody like me. I'm just saying articulate whatever goals you have financially to someone else and make sure they hold you accountable, not on an annual basis, not even on a monthly basis. Do it on a weekly basis until you establish the habits, right? The second thing that I'll say, and again, these are more macro because I could say some specific things, save your money, do this, but they're like, man, I know that, right? I think the other thing is the quicker you become efficient handling your money at home, the easier you'll be able to handle your money within a business because they go hand in hand. People say, oh no, business. No, you got money problems at the house. That's going to walk with you all the way till you open the door and clock in. Right. And so have a very efficient game plan on your cash flow management on your month to month operating income and expenses for your household. You know, if it's a two income household, be very efficient. If it's just you, be very efficient because just like running your business, if you got high overhead, that's less money going into your pocket. And so you don't want money going through the cracks when it comes to, you know, meals out. I'm working with a business owner now. And just through our process, we do a very thorough scraping of cash flow management. You know, she's spending $800 a month eating out, breakfast, lunch, drinks at the end of the day. That's $9,600 a year. That's $10,000 a year. I didn't say, hey, you need to cut that out. I said, hey, let's cut it in half and add $50 to it and use it in cash, right? Instead of you using your card because you're taking the emotion out by using your card, let's put the emotion back into it. As soon as you run out of cash, that's it. No more meals out. Now, with that being said, that's $5,000 she just saved over the next 12 months. So the biggest thing is identify how much is coming in, how much is going out on your household. Be very lean, be extremely lean. Now, you ain't got to sleep in your car and eat ramen noodles every day. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that, but you make sure you are being efficient. And so with the entrepreneur, your value proposition isn't cash flow management. The reason why you're valuable isn't because you have a great portfolio. The reason why you're valuable is because you found a void and you created something to fix it. And you need to make sure that you can spend as much time as possible making sure that is being executed at the level that you're promising. And so that's why I think it's imperative to have someone outside of that mold that has a very objective perspective to give you counsel and hold you accountable to ensure you can continue to create and execute the level of service that you intended to do with your business. That was a little bit of a Kanye rant there as well. My bad.
No, that was a good Kanye rant. As long as you don't call me Sway, it's okay.
That's funny.
Awesome. Well, I know you gave us like a ton of great advice and a great information that we can definitely use as business owners and definitely told us your story. So I wanted to just kind of give you the floor to let us know if there's anything additional, whether it be advice or just anything additional in general that you want to kind of tell us as readers and listeners. And also, lastly, I just wanted to ask too, you know, how is the best way to kind of get in touch with you?
Sure, man. Yeah. I guess if there's anything additional that I could add, get comfortable being uncomfortable, right? Like, go ahead and look in the mirror financially. It is not going to be fun. I tell folks all the time, you're going to get financially naked, right? And you're going to see some stuff. You're going to see some stuff you didn't want to look at. If it's credit issues, if it's cash flow issues, if it's savings issues, but face it, right? Just go ahead and face it and put together a game plan month to month, week to week, in which changes the situation that you see. It's going to be difficult starting out, but once you get going, you're going to find joy in seeing the needle move. So the biggest thing is look at what you have, become efficient with what you have, have someone hold you accountable. Of course, I do see value in connecting with a professional. Entrepreneurs, make sure you have a good accountant. You have to have a good accountant. That is imperative. Very imperative, especially with all these tax changes, right? So get you a good CPA, someone you trust, someone that understands your business, someone that understands your goals and objectives. And also make sure your CPA and your financial planner, financial guy, make sure they have conversations. Every meeting I have with all my business owners, you know who's all at the table? The financial planner, the attorney, the CPA, sometimes even a real estate agent. I make sure everybody's there. We all got to be on the same page. And so get you a game plan, get you a team, get the right people on the bus. If you want to get a hold of me, my website is planning. So my mantra is planning. So all my hashtag is PLANNING. But my website is www.planningimc.com. You can find me on Facebook, find me on Instagram, find me on Twitter. Same handles, planning, 2_22 all across the board. But yeah, outside of that, man, I appreciate the platform. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for you creating and really filling a void, right? Because as entrepreneurs, we are very focused on filling whatever void that we see that's in our backyard or what's in front of us. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we're sharpening our tools to ensure that we can do that and continue to do that and build it to the point where people buy it from us. So thank you for the opportunity as well, brother.
No problem. Thank you so much, Isaac. Yeah, I did begin with the end in mind. So thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule. Thank you so much for, you know, all the great things that you're doing. And this was awesome.
Yes, sir. Thank you, man. Have a great weekend.
You too. Take care.
All right now.